ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 615 in Chicago with a live studio audience. We have a very special live studio audience today. We won't mention her name, but she's really cute, and she's 8 years old, and she's really embarrassed that thousands of people worldwide will know that she was a live studio audience, but we'll keep it as a secret just between us. Okay, everyone, hello. Wishing everyone an amazing, amazing week ahead. Today we are recording a drop early on Sunday because it is the 17th of Tammuz. Now, many people will scratch their head as they're driving their car, or they're plotting their Pilates, or they're on the treadmill of what is going on. And so the 17th of Tammuz, and we had a really quite a dramatic for parents experience this past week of our children being stuck in Madrid. And I thought that I would bring together this Yom Kippur-like experience of having five children stuck in Madrid and the 17th of Tammuz and the period which we are entering and bring them all together. Does that sound like a good idea? Yes, to our live studio audience, it sounds like a great idea. So fasten your seatbelts and get ready to wait in the airport. No, just kidding. Here we go. Fasten your seatbelts. We are gonna take off here with Monday Motivation. Okay. The 17th of Tammuz, which today is a fast day. It is a day of mourning, of tragedies that happened to the Jewish people. And it's not only a one-off. It begins the entire three-week period from the 17th of Tammuz. Tammuz is the name of the Jewish month. And it extends 3 weeks through Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av. Now, growing up, I had no idea, never heard of any of these things. Summer camp, not a peep about a time of mourning for temples, our two temples being destroyed, for tragedies throughout the Jewish people. No, this was not on the radar. And hopefully we will get to that, of how important it is for this time period to be on the radar. It is the 3 weeks in which the Jewish people mourn the collective tragedies of our very long history. And our history has had many, many, many bright moments that sometimes get glossed over. Like, we gave morality to the world. That's a good one. Yeah, the fact that people believe that murder is wrong. That's a Jewish idea. Hate to say it, but it certainly was not obvious to Western culture, the Greeks, the Romans, who threw poor little slaves to the lions for entertainment. I always say, you've heard me say many times here on this podcast, that here in Chicago, 10 miles from here, is Soldier Field. The reason why they're throwing a football around, actually pretty poorly, but with little white stitches on it, and not throwing slaves to lions for entertainment, is because the thou shalt not murder of the Torah won out in the marketplace of ideas. We were the great teacher. It's obvious to everyone today that murder is wrong and stealing is wrong, even though people do both of them. But it takes a unique talent to bring those ideas to the world. And that is what the Jewish people have done. So we have incredible bright spots of uplifting humanity, civilizing humanity, the innovation of the Jewish people, not just in the startup nation, the last 30, 40 years, but we've always been on the cutting edge. We are innovators. That is our spiritual DNA. We see what's possible where things are not possible. It started from the very first Jew, Abraham Avinu, who saw a world of idolatry and said, hey, we're going to go counterculture. This is wrong. This is not right. Sacrificing virgins at the altar, your firstborn son, to appease the rain god. That is not the way to do things. And he saw, he looked out in the world. He said, does anything in the world that exists not have a creator, right? A great mansion just poofed into existence, right? There must be a Baal Habira. There must be a master of the house, to quote Les Mis. Those who get the reference. But there must be a master of the house, right? So too, now even more, the DNA, oh my goodness, right? DNA, the likelihood of that just popping together, poofing together, is less than zero. It really is. There's absolutely no conceivable way that a rational human being could say that DNA poofed together without God's intervention. It's too perfect. They can't even figure it out today. So anyway, we have always been able to see beyond the accepted norms of the day. We are a counterculture. We are innovative. And that is our strength, one of our many strengths. And we find ourselves, however, paying a price for that, paying a price for being the Jewish people, being the chosen people of God. And I know American Jews scream and squirm and whenever they get squeamish when they hear that term. But it really is nothing to be squeamish about. It's something to be very proud of. And the fact that the Jewish people are the center of the attention of the world still. I mean, when does Albania get any attention? You know, can we have Australia get some news over here? What about, I don't know, Guatemala? Let's talk about Guatemala. What about, I don't know, even Holland? I pick any country. It's unbelievable the percentage of news, air, press that the Jewish people in Israel get. Why? Because everyone knows this special status that we have, except, sadly, many Jews. And that is what our life mission is to illuminate Jews to the fact that we are this special nation. What comes along with this special status is a special responsibility. It is, what can I say? It's like the quarterback, right? The quarterback gets paid the most. Doesn't mean that the quarterback can play the game by himself. No, it needs 10 other players. And I would even say that the other players are essential, of course. But the quarterback gets paid the most, but he also gets sacked the most. That's where everyone's gunning for. He is the progenitor of the play, of the movement forward of the game. That is the Jewish people. We are the spiritual quarterbacks of history. And we get sacked. We get sacked a lot. And sometimes we get sacked, and many times we get sacked, according to our tradition, is because we need a reminder. Because we're quarterback and we're on the sidelines with the Gatorade giving it to the players. We don't realize. We think we're just the water boy. And sometimes we got to go up and get a smack on the backside to remind us that we are the quarterback of history. And the tragedies, not all, there are many possible reasons for the suffering of the Jewish people. But one of the main ones is that when we leave the quarterback position and we go sit on the bench like some third string guy from Montana State or North Dakota, you know, A&M, and we don't realize that we were a first round draft pick star quarterback, the coach has to come over and give us a whack and say, buddy, wake up. You think you're some fourth, fifth string, you know, water boy, water carrier? You're the quarterback. You have $100 million contract. Okay? $100 million is not so much anymore. Okay, you have a big contract. And people are expecting things from you. And you're just going to live like everyone else? You're just going to sit on the bench? You're going to be a regular player? We need you to be the quarterback. And the divine coach many times has to come and give a big smack for us to recognize our place in history and our place in the present. And sadly, the Jewish people all too often have forgotten our elevated perch, our responsibility to humanity. And therefore, punishments come. And these 3 weeks from Shivasar B'Tammuz, the 17th of Tammuz, through the 9th of Av, describe the tragedies that happened throughout the first and second temples. And on Tisha B'Av, both of the temples were destroyed, in addition to tremendous tragedies, including up to the decree of the Alhambra decree of Spanish Jewry being kicked out of Spain, expelled on Tisha B'Av of 1492. As well as World War I breaking out on the Tisha B'Av in 1914, which, if you look into it, obviously was the logical extension, was World War II, which we know how devastating that was. World War One would have been bad enough, by the way. People don't realize how many Jews died and were displaced in World War One. And so this is the collective time. We start with a fast day and we end with a fast day, this 3-week period, to wake us up, to say you can't go about your life normally and regularly. We're entering into a time period where we have to wake up. We have to be our best selves. We have to plug in. And if we say, oh, listen, I don't know much about Judaism, well, this is a great 3-week period to start finding out. And if I learn once a month, maybe it's time to work to learn 2 times a month. And if I learn weekly, then maybe I could learn a little bit more. And if I do Shabbos once in a blue moon, then maybe I could do Shabbos a little bit more often. This is the time period where we accept the responsibility that we are the chosen nation, and part and parcel of being the chosen people is living up to our standards Jewishly. That is what it means. We don't go out on street corners with megaphones preaching to people, sinners repent. We take all that energy and say, how do I keep Shabbos better? How do I watch my tongue and what I say about other people better? How do I become a better Jew? That's what this entire 3-week portion is. And that, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to our story in Madrid. Okay. So, I had just led a Israel trip back in May, and I was literally shrying, hawking, telling everyone that they needed to fill out what's called an ETAIL. It's a new visa that Israel requires to enter Israel. Okay. And I spent, you know, many, many texts and trying to get my students to fill this form out. It takes literally about 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes, and the response is almost instantaneous. And it's not a hard thing. It's just you need to do it. So we, for the bar mitzvah, our second daughter, Racheli, and her amazing husband, Shua, came in for the bar mitzvah, and they were flying back. And we, instead of paying an astronomical amount of money for summer camp, we decided to pay that same astronomical money for 3 of our daughters to have an experience in Israel for 3.5 weeks. And so we got them all on the same flight. And what happens? We get this call, they get off, everything's great. I get a call at 5 a.m. Abba, we're stuck in Madrid. We are stuck in Madrid. And I'm like, just, I'm bleary eyed. Imagine being woken up, that early. And I'm like, what's going on? And they said, but we didn't fill out the visa. And I was like literally kicking myself. I could not believe it. I just spent the last 2 months telling all my students they needed to fill out this form, which was not that difficult. Anyway, the airline, to their whatever discredit, check them in, put their bags through. Why would they do that? Would you say, sorry, that's part of the registration process. Oh, where's your visa? They didn't check the visa then. They only checked it when they're boarding. And then it was too late to do it. And long story short, they're stuck in Madrid. Now, I'd like to give a shout out and brownie points to Racheli and Shua, who at that point have visas. They live there. So they can travel through. They decided to stay behind in Madrid. Now, if ever you want to know how Hashem feels when his children get along and when his children stand up for one another, this is how Hashem feels. I was so proud and filled with joy that the married children who could have gone home after a long, long journey stayed behind to take care of the others. And it was really, it's really amazing. So they cajole, they talk. I end up getting the visas done, send them to the email. It should work in the system. There's a flight later that night. There's only 2 seats on the flight. There are only 2 seats on the flight. Anyone gone? We were going online and pretending to purchase them. There were only 2 seats left. But the next day, there were potentially up to 4 seats. So we thought between the 2 flights, we should be able to get them there. Now, I said, you want to go to Madrid? There's a kosher restaurant there, whatever. They're like, no. And we realized if they left the airport, they may not be able to get checked back in because they don't have any ticket. Their ticket they were on was, it passed already. So they stayed put all day in Madrid, and there was a 10 o'clock flight. They said, come back to the LL office, the front, the gate at 8:15. They come back, still delayed. They finally get through. I'm like on Spilkies, not knowing what to do. Hoping that the note that the first LL team left for the next LL team would carry over. They said, no, for sure you'll get at least two, and just wait and everything will be taken care of. I get a call from one of my children, and the first two words were, Mayday. Now, I knew enough to know that it's July and it's not May. And Mayday means, Abba, we need help. Turns out that the LL guy said, I am absolutely cannot help you in any possible way. The only way you can get on this flight is if you purchase a ticket. And you know, if it came to that, whatever, we would do it. You know, it's like the American government deficit spending, you know, never slowed anyone down, right? But it was an entire day in the airport. You know, listen, they're not going to starve in the global things, but it's an entire day in the airport and the uncertainty. And for two of the children, it was their first time in Israel, and it's international travel, and it's scary. It's scary. I did remind them that, thank God, there were no bad guys chasing them. This is not World War II, and it's the last train out. We have to put everything in perspective. And they were really, really amazing in their emunah, in their faith, and their bitachon, their trust in Hashem. But the moment that he just shut them down and said, there's nothing he can do, the instant reaction was tears, tears. And they cried. Now, I don't know how many of them cried. They all didn't cry. But enough of them did. And they cried because there was nothing else to do. There was no human that could help them. It was only the Almighty. And they cried and they cried. And the LL guy, who initially had a heart of stone, said, Al tivki. Al tivku. Don't cry. Don't cry. Just wait. Wait until we close out the flight. 45 minutes pass. And we're on Spilkies. We don't know what this guy can do, what he's planning, this and the other. And my wife Suri and I are just beside ourselves. We don't know what to do. We're looking at hotels, how to get them where, and this, that, and the other. And there's nothing more dramatic and painful than a parent wanting to help their child and not being able to. And we got a call, a triumphant call, saying, Abba, we have five boarding passes. We have five boarding passes. We're on the flight. We're on the flight. And my wife and I, an entire day of having, you know, again, it's not life and death. There are greater issues in the world, but when you love your children, you want them to be successful. And we had felt like we had been through a Yom Kippur. And I said to my wife, I said, Halavai, it should be that we should cry the tears on Yom Kippur that we shed today. And my daughter was still on the phone, and she says, Abba, do you want to speak with the LL representative? I said, oh, yes, I do. Please put him on the phone. And I said, and Imarti Lo, I'll translate and say, Abba, Nia Abba. Vani, Kamo She'ata Tipalta B'Yeladim Sheli, Ani Mevarech Otcha She'Kadosh Baruch Hu Yitepel B'Yeladim Shelcha. And I gave him a blessing that said, just like you dealt with kindness and grace and generosity with my children, God Almighty should deal with grace and kindness and compassion with your children. And it turns out he's engaged and he's going to get married. And I gave him a blessing, and this secular guy had no idea what hit him. He'd never received a blessing like that. And I have no doubt in my mind, I'm 100% sure that a blessing that comes from the heart of an appreciative father will come true, no doubt. Amen. And so what is the connection over here? It's because the work of this day, of these 3 weeks, are tears, tears, tears of children wanting to come back to their father in heaven, and tears of the father in heaven who wants his children to come back to him, who are lost, who are stuck in so many airports around the world, who are stuck traveling, seeking so many other things except him. And that's our work. That's what we're doing when you just do this project, Sector D thing. Because we have so many Jews who are lost. And this is the time that we have to remember who we are. And it's the tears that are going to make it happen. The tears of Jews who will, God willing, wake up and say, what am I doing with my life? Where am I going? I want meaning and I want purpose. And it's just not working. Where can I find this? And God willing, we will be reminded that we are not third string bench warmers. We are the star and starting quarterback of history. And that we are children of a loving God who wants us to come back, but who has to remind us with a smack on the backside sometimes that we forget who we are. So may the tears of this story of being stuck in Madrid remind us of the tears that we need to shed. Of the love of a Father in heaven who's waiting for us to come through. And God willing, the ticket agents of the world, their hearts will be melted, and the entire Jewish people will be let on board that great flight back to our Holy Land and to connection with our Father in heaven. God bless. Have an amazing week, and we will see you again right back here, God willing, for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.